FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. On this week's show, we'll have reaction and interviews from Saturday's league match at Buxton, but before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week's news with a fixture alteration, and FC United will now be hosting the semi-final clash with Earlham in the Frank Hannah Manchester Premier Cup next week, as it has been announced that this cup tie will now be taking place at Broadhurst Park on Tuesday the 4th of February with a 7:45pm kick-off, so make sure that you put that new date in your diaries. There will, however, not be an NPL League Cup tie to be played at Broadhurst Park for the remainder of this season, though, as FC were knocked out of the competition midweek in an entertaining clash with Sheffield FC in North Manchester.
It's a decent game of football as the ball's given away by Lacey. Cooksey now spreads it out right-hand side. Space for Mitchell Dunn. Brings it into the box now. Will he try one? Yes, he will. He'll score. And the mistake by Lewis Lacey there. Just gave the ball away very tamely. It was picked up by Cooksey and a very good pass and a great finish from Mitchell Dunn as left flank of FC's defence, slightly AWOL there. And, well, it's Glossop North End all over again here as FC at home to lower league opposition in this competition going 1-0 behind. Now it's Griffiths for FC United right-hand side. Plays a long ball, very speculative there. Ennis will chase, but Hedge can mop up. Slices his clearance a little bit, but it's picked up and picked up well there by Chapman. Oh, and it's through for Sheldon Jordan. Important interception from Doyle, but Chapman again with it, tries to play it out, but good interception from Dodd. And now Griffiths can bring it forward, and he spreads it out left-hand side. Can he find his man? Regan Lenny takes it ever so well with his right foot. It's great work from Lenny. Takes it to the byline. Oh, and that's a penalty. And FC United have a penalty.
No complaints.
And Tunde Olabi has been beckoned in the meantime. I don't think he'll be able to take the penalty, but good run from Linney and a bit of a clumsy challenge. If you're going to go to ground with a player, and particularly when he's right by the byline, you'd want to stand with him, surely.
Well, initially I thought Regan Linney had lost the ball to the right-back, Grayson.
And now it's Charlie Ennis who's going to take this penalty for FC United. And can he level things up for FC? Here he comes. Yes, he can. Whoa. It's straight down the middle.
And it's a goal for FC United. Scored by number 11, Charlie Ennis.
And you were saying, Roy, about the run-up to that.
Yeah, and Grayson actually looked as though he'd won the ball initially. And the thing was, he just got a little bit of a delay on the ball. Ran it into Linney's run. Linney took a couple of paces from left to right going in towards the goal, and then for some reason, like you said, Stuart Ludlam put his leg out there for some reason, you know, as he had him right tight to the dead ball line, and Linney just said thank you very much and went over his leg, resulting in a penalty.
All square.
And now FC have to win the header. They do win the header. Control really well by Sinclair Smith. Ball now to FC's Luke Griffiths. Griffiths now got a player to the left. He finds Dodd. And he needs to go and support Dodd as well. And he will do exactly that. He plays it back. Luke Griffiths now looks up. Can he deliver towards the back post? It's a nonchalant ball. It has to be dealt with. It's headed away by Turner. Who's going to find it? It's cleared well. And FC United have to defend again. That man holds the ball up tremendously well. Sheldon Jordan. did it all by himself and did really, really well. And now Jordan down the right hand side, can they finish the game here and kill FC United off? There's a great ball in and it should be 2-1, and it is 2-1. Well, that was absolutely superb, to be honest. It was all started on the halfway line by Sheldon Jordan. What a bit of hold-up play. And then he took the ball beyond. He ran down the right-hand side. The ball came onto the left-hand side. And it was a delightful finish from the substitute. I'm not quite sure who it was, but to a degree, deserved.
There was better news for the women's team, though, on Sunday afternoon as the Reds dug out a brilliant 3-2 victory at Morecambe, with Kate O'Gara scoring late on to take all the points for Cameron Hussain's side. Here's Neil speaking with the women's team manager soon after the final whistle.
OK, here we come and saying the women's team's manager, we squeaked a 3-2 win there, but I think we can count ourselves lucky that that Morecambe didn't get any extra chances, otherwise we might have been walking away from here with just 1 point.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought they were clinical in the little chances that they took. I thought we showed good fighting spirit to fight all the way to the end and get the win again, which is showing a great sign of character from the girls, really.
They didn't have many chances, Morecambe, probably we had more of the possession, but they hit us with the two pretty much punches that they did throw at us. Probably had two shots on net and scored with both of them, and good goals.
Yeah, they took the finish as well, and they created some good chances that they took, so credit to them. But I think we need to just step up our game a little bit in these next few weeks and really clamp out these oppositions in terms of big chances and really get that out of our system so we dictate and control the game a little bit more.
Yeah, we looked a little disjointed through the game. I don't think there was many times where we strung a lot of passes together. We seem to be missing sort of like the ability to thread the ball through and get it into the right positions.
Yeah, the combination play was breaking down quite a bit, and credit to Morecambe, they made it tough for us in central areas and they always had pressure on the ball, so it wasn't easy at times. But then that being said, I thought our quality wasn't the greatest, so there's always room for improvement.
Yeah, and a nice winner by Kate O'Gara there, roundly celebrated by the rest of the fans and players, and I presume the management over the far side where you lot were. She took that really well.
Definitely. She's not a stranger to late goals, is she? So
no.
She took that finish really well. She's had a few shots outside the box, and we've hit the crossbar, to be fair, a few times, so we have been a bit unlucky in our shooting, but we created chances, so there was a chance for the game to be totally out of their hands come 60 minutes, but it's not gone our way today, really.
Yeah, Natalie hit the bar a couple of times with them bouncing, it ping-ponged around the nets, but unfortunately they didn't go in for this on this occasion. But we've got the win, and you've always got to say that when you're not playing so well and things are disjointed but you're still getting the wins, then that's the sort of thing that you've got to be happy with to an extent.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that championship spirit, if you've got that and you're still winning games but you're not quite performing to your level, it shows the quality that we have in the squad and the depth we have in the squad. So pleased that we've got the 3 points. Is there room for improvement? Absolutely, there always is. But I think at the same time, we've got to give credit to the girls for fighting back. And we went for 3 goals that we thought would come, but it didn't quite come how we anticipated. They've done really well.
Back to winning, well, keep on our winning ways, but maybe back to a bit more clinical ways next week. Who have we got next up?
Absolutely. At the moment, the league haven't assigned us a fixture, but we're waiting for them to rearrange. So hopefully by tomorrow or Tuesday, they'll give us a notice of rearranging. But we know the likes of Morecambe have not played many home games, so there'll be lots of rearranged fixtures and a lot of movement in that coming up.
This was originally, this weekend was going to be where the Merseyrail game was going to be played, weren't it? Well, like, we've got that one out of the way. Always better to try and get them in and as and when you can. And hopefully we've got a game and it'll be home or away, and we'll be there anyway.
Absolutely, thank you.
FC United women's team manager Cameron Hussain there speaking to Neil following that 3-2 win up at Morecambe. A win which sees FC stay a point clear of Tranmere Rovers up at the top of the division. And finally for this week's news, and following his side's exit from the MPL League Cup on Tuesday night, FC United manager Neil Reynolds took his side to Buxton on Saturday for a crucial league game in Derbyshire. To hear his thoughts heading into the game, Ben caught up with the FC United manager on Friday evening.
So Neil, a big thank you for joining us on a Friday evening. Back to league matters after Tuesday night's game in the League Cup, Buxton on Saturday. But before that, how was Thursday night's training after that match against Sheffield on Tuesday?
Thursday was great. You know, we knew, you know, we made 5 or 6 changes. We had a few lads out there. We had tired legs from Saturday. you know, it's a cup competition that I love, you know, for a number of reasons. It's kind of my first piece of silverware as a manager. But, you know, on reflection now, looking at it, we're only going to go into the last 16. It's probably the games that we could do without, and that's not me disrespecting the trophy at all. It's me just focusing now, you know, looking at a semi-final that we've got coming up with Earlham in the Manchester Cup, and, you know, the best part of 20-plus league games to go. So you know, it's going to be a hectic schedule. So, yeah, disappointing. I want to win every game of football. But I thought the lads were incredible Tuesday, especially the ones who hadn't played much football. But it's back to League Masters tomorrow. And, you know, that's our, if you will, our bread and butter. And we've talked about it. And it's a game for the squad. And for me personally, I've never been to Buxton. You know, it's for me personally and the FC United. Entourage tell me about, you know, the away days of other Buxton, etc. So I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, for us, we just can't wait to get back to league action.
Like you touched upon there with regards to fixtures and priorities and that kind of thing. The next round of the League Cup was going to be the week of that Nantwich game in the league. So you were going to be juggling a lot at that stage of the campaign, weren't you, in all fairness?
Listen, Ben, we've got a really small squad, you know, and that's, you know, that's the way we want it. It's more, you know, tight-knit, but, you know, down to 17, 18. And, you know, the cup runs are brilliant. You know, we've loved the trophy. We've loved the Integral Cup. You know, we're really looking forward to the Manchester Cup. But we've really got to be able to get our league games in. I think, you know, only last week, I think five games were rescheduled. And, you know, when we get into, by the time we get to February, March, we're playing Saturday, Tuesday. We're training Wednesday, Thursday. We're in Saturday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So it's going to be a hectic schedule. And, you know, hopefully we go injury free. But if we don't, you're upsetting the rhythm of the squad. We've got to change things slightly. So, listen, massive credit to Sheffield. I thought they were brilliant. Really enjoyed the company from the management team and the playing staff. And, you know, I want them to go on and be successful. I really do. But for us, it's probably a fixture I could have done without. But I really wanted to win it at the same time. I don't want people to think that I'm making an excuse because we didn't win. I wanted to win the game. But we didn't. And on reflection, after speaking to several people, it might not be a bad thing that we're out. But that's only if we continue with our positive league form, because there's no point going out of a trophy and then following it up with, you know, with a good performance in the league. Otherwise, the kind of the rot sets in, doesn't it? And that's not what anyone wants.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Buxton tomorrow, like you say, you've never played there before, but I think they've got a brand new 3G pitch. I mean, you've said it before, your team likes playing on surfaces like that. So, but Buxton are a bit of a different animal to what they were when we last played them.
Yeah, Ben, we're a footballing side. You know, we love flat surfaces. We love playing at home. You know, our pitch is fantastic. We don't necessarily like going to the places like Ashton or like Whitby, but you know, we've been to both places, so we can show that we've got another side of our game. We've gone there and took maximum points from poor surfaces. Tomorrow, we've got no excuse. You know, we're down on a flat carpet. We want to express ourselves. We want to get the ball moving. And it's like we did to Hyde the other week, you know, when we won 5 there. I'm not saying it'll be the same scoreline, but it gives us a real opportunity to play our fast, free-flowing football. As for Buxton, you know, we beat them 7, didn't we, this season? And, you know, that was under the old manager, Paul Phillips, I believe, just got the Matlock job today. So you know, it's going to be a difficult task, because I know that if I was in the Buxton team that came to Broadhurst Park and I'm getting named tomorrow, I certainly wouldn't want to, you know, I wouldn't want to replicate that result. So I'm sure it'll be an easy one for them to get fired up for. New manager, things have happened off the field. So, you know, it's going to be a tough task. And they've come too recently. I know they're 3rd from bottom, but don't look at the league table, because I still think that anyone can beat anybody. We've just got to go down there and you know, keep to the game plan. We worked on it hard this week in training. And hopefully, you know, come quarter five tomorrow, we've got the right result.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a couple of squad bits and bobs before we go, Neil. And Rain Halliwell, obviously, I think he went out on loan to get more game time. But you've got news on that side of things.
Yeah, listen, me and Rain have been chatting probably every fortnight, tracking his progress. You know, he's been in and out of the Widnes squad. He's scored a few goals. He's been on the bench. And, you know, I think he wants to, you know, he wants to go and play consistently. And, you know, we've been tracking that. And as long as he made, you know, really good progress there, then we would have looked to bring him back. As it happens, you know, he's looking for a change. Me and Ray spoke tonight. He's been brilliant. You know, he's a lovely lad. It's just not worked out for him, you know, in the wide areas that, you know, we've got some exceptional players. But so we decided that he's going to go on to move on to Pastures New. So, you know, it's just a big thanks to Ray and for him. Good luck in the future. As for the squad side, you know, tomorrow we're going into it with a fully fit 16. We only had one absence from training last night who won't join up with the squad. But apart from that, you know, I've got a really strong bench. I've got a really strong 11, and you know, like I said, we're going to go down there and hopefully execute the game plan and, you know, get three more points in our quest for, you know, what everyone wants, and that's finishing the playoffs and hopefully get promotion.
Welcome everyone to Silverlands, a home at Buxton, and it's changed since last time we were here, Swampy. I can remember a Baltic night once. I think Buxton were playing Warrington in the Northern Premier League Premier Division, and this pitch was,
I thought you had a Baltic pasty.
Okay-ish.
No, it's never been okay-ish.
Okay, it was all right that night-ish. Now look at it, relayed.
It's not been
3G.
It's not been relayed.
Well, it's been
dug up and they've put a 3G pitch in. But you'd be pleased to know, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are around the world, there's still a huge slope on it.
There is a slope on it. I was surprised because I believe they dug into the slope, but they clearly haven't.
No, they haven't. No. I went to the far corner on the left-hand side and it's about a foot difference from the bottom to the top of the pitch. And also, a little bit of news about the actual pitch. It's a 3G pitch, as we say, but it's a three millimetre cut. Opposed to the 1 millimetre cut spacing that they have at Hyde's ground. The reason being is because they play rugby union here, and so the ball doesn't bounce so high. They've actually had a different weave, so there's more crumb on it and there's more of a weave. It's not as nice as the Hyde pitch. However, it is conducive to good, attractive football, no doubt.
And therefore, it should be no surprise that we've decided. Well, Neil Reynolds
we have,
has
yes,
decided.
No, no, we have decided. He consults us now. He consults us. Yeah.
That he's gone with the same selection that played against Hyde so successfully well, because that team really did dominate on a pitch which was meant to be an away pitch, but it looked like their home that afternoon against Hyde.
Very much so, and. But footballers now train. This is their bread and butter. They train on this every single week, 2-3 times a week. So therefore, when they get opportunity to actually play a full 90 minutes on it, it can be very conducive. And FC do like the passing game, bit of pace, bit of quality. And this afternoon, hopefully, we can see that in abundance.
Obviously, there was a little bump in the road midweek against Sheffield FC. Neil Reynolds brought in six changes from the team that played against Whitby. We obviously had a discussion after the match whether that was the right thing to do. We'd gone to Barrow, we'd gone to Whitby. Players needed a rest, didn't they? And Sheffield were really good on Tuesday night.
Sheffield were excellent. There's no question about that. And they were real value in the second half, especially. The first half, FC should have been... the game should have been dead and buried. Should have been at least 5-2. However, yeah, second half. And you're right, I think if... The Whitby game, when we arrived and they saw the pitch and the difficulty of that pitch and what it took out of the players, he may well have still rung some changes, but I don't think it would have been all six. I think it would have been maybe two or three, but he realised and recognised it's a squad game and the players were tired after that game of Whitby and it was a long journey back as well. So he did the right thing, and you know, we were very unlucky not to win the game, and good luck to Sheffield, because if they can play football like that all through the season, they'll be an entertaining team to watch, because they've got some real quality. And Deakin, and the listener might be aware or might not be aware, but if you were in Detroit a few years ago with FC, he played for Detroit City against FC United Manchester, so he's played on two continents.
There we go. Just to add as well, we interviewed Neil after he won the Integral League Cup against Grantham a couple of years ago, and it was a competition which is close to his heart. It was his first piece of silverware. He really wanted to win it, but as he said in his pre-match interview, there is you sit back and you go, maybe it's not necessarily a bad thing, because the next game was due to take place the same week we were due to play Nantwich Town, which is looking like it's going to be a huge game in the league. So it is one less headache, and we have to prioritise, don't we?
Well,
so
you prioritise. He prioritised to win that game. It didn't happen. You know, he would have taken it and moved forward. He wants to win that competition. To say, we watched him and Bamber Bridge play at Leek Town in that game, and they were superb. And he wanted to win the competition, like he wants to win every game of football. Wasn't to be. We moved it on, and we're now here with league matters in front of us. And that is the bread and butter. There's still the Manchester Premier Cup to go for, and also the league. So, you know, there's still plenty available.
Just to confirm that Manchester Premier Cup semi-final will be against Earlham. Just to confirm then, the squad this afternoon is the same lineup that played against Hyde. It's Belford, Morris, Dodd, Griffiths, Doyle, Jones, Sinclair, Smith, Potts, Owalaba, Curran, and Linnet. Substitutes.
You don't do this normally, Ben. That's normally.
No, I'm about to get something.
Ennis, I see.
Ennis, Donoghue, Kyle Hawley, Jack Lenihan, and Ben Kerr. And
Special mention for Ben Kerr. I thought he had a good game at right back.
Yeah, I mean, he's 18 years of age. He's a holding midfield player more than anything, and he did okay. You know, there was a lot of pace in that team with Sheffield up top, and there were some good, strong, quality players. And he acquitted himself well. He worked hard, and he's learned a lot from that game, no doubt. And today he's on the bench, and if he comes on, he won't be out of place.
On their side of things, obviously we've got Tunde Olabi, league top goal scorer, but Diego Dijoelamo isn't too far off.
How long have you been learning to pronounce that properly?
I interviewed him a few months ago. Lovely lad. His brother is the captain, obviously, as well in defence. But he's a cracking goal scorer, but no Liam Hardy, thankfully.
Well, he's always scored against FC, hasn't he? That's to a degree. That's like, look, we just got to concentrate on ourselves this afternoon. Simple as that. So we've got the firepower, we've got the quality. They're a decent team. It's interesting to see that they've got Aaron Chambers on the bench rather than holding midfield place or centre half as he works. They're going to come out with an attacking mindset. FC and I are going to do the same. So it should be and will be, I would say, a decent game of football and a big crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. I've just looked up now, and you're probably hearing in the background, we haven't got the Atmos mic up, but there's a good, healthy away contingent over there in the end terrace. Buxton away has always been one of the benefits of being relegated last season was the fact we could come back here. That was one of the perks.
Yeah, well, I was here last night, and this morning I was up early, and I was in the town centre, and it was interesting to see quite a number of black and white, red and white scarves around, and people milling about, and it's always a good away day. It's, you know, it's a train ride from Manchester. You're here within the hour, and get a few drinks, enjoy the atmosphere. It is, as always, a little bit parky. It's never warm in Buxton. Even when it's warm in Buxton, it's never warm.
Just to add as well, when it comes to league positioning and that, it's an interesting afternoon for FC United. Currently sitting fourth, 1 point behind Lancaster and Basford. We've obviously got 3 games in hand over Lancaster and a game in hand over Basford. We're also 6 points inside the playoffs, which is handy as well. But we've got to keep the momentum going, haven't we, really? It doesn't matter what other teams do in the playoff positions.
It makes no difference at all. We just carry on playing our football, and hopefully we get the result today. And, you know, with a couple of games that have been cancelled already, we can go up a couple of positions. And then you do start looking at it, because the confidence is, when you see yourself in a certain position on the table, as supporters, you enjoy it. And equally as players, going, you know, we're just off the top spot now, and we, you know, a couple of games that go against them and we keep playing well, you never know.
14th of March, by the way, is when we go to South Shields. South Shields are taking on Witton Albion this afternoon. Warrington are hosting Whitby Town. Stalybridge are taking on Nantwich. That's 6th against 7th. Lancaster City travelling to Ashton United and inform Ashton United all of a sudden, whilst Basford United will be taking on Morpeth. So could be an interesting afternoon. We can go up to 2nd, or we could stay in 4th, or with goal difference, we could go up to 2nd as well. Well, the teams are about to come out of the tunnel, so without further ado, it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team for this afternoon's game. This is FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCody.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army, live here in the capital of the Peak District, Buxton. And it's Buxton against FC United of Manchester, and it's James Quinn, but first, Swampair.
Back to Belford, takes a touch, looks for some support, plays it back to Curtis Jones on this near touchline, and they spray play from this near touchline to the far side. The ball behind Dodd, but he wins it. Well, the last time these two teams met, it's now Curran down the left hand side. Can he get beyond his player? Good challenge there, though, by Conor O'Grady. And
might be a bit serious, that one on Curran, you know.
Curran is down, he's holding his ankle, and he seems to be in some pain. I suppose that's one of the criticisms, really, of a 3G to a degree, is when certain challenges go in, you don't have that cushioning of the grass, and the impact can be a lot more detrimental to an individual. And he's a player that is well liked at FC United of Manchester on loan, and the substitution is already to be made, and it seems quite serious. The players have intimated that he needs to come off, and Alex Curran with less than 5 minutes gone.
Looks like it's going to be Donoghue
with the man, will replace, you would expect.
Well, Regan Linney on the ball now, 40 yards out, gives give and go, but doesn't get it back, and when he does, he can't control it. And the ball on the halfway line with Doyle now. Doyle heads it forward, but it's collected by left-back Alex Brown. And a poor back from Morris. He didn't look up. Chance for Diego. And he scores. And Aaron Morris passed it back without looking up. And Diego Di Girolamo pounced upon it and slid it under the body of Cameron Belford. Well, FC haven't been at their best so far this afternoon, but that really was a careless error. Well, they had a test to pass this afternoon anyway, but now an even bigger one.
Well, he didn't look up, did he? He didn't look across. He played the ball and he underhit it as well, unfortunately. And again, that is... I'm not blaming the pitch here, but you do sometimes have uncertainty on pitches like this. And ordinarily, I think he would have been more comfortable just putting the ball out, but he's gone back to the goalkeeper. And as you say, it's a bad, poor mistake. It's well taken. It's under the body of Belford, and it's the first shot of any note from either team, and they're 1-0 up at the moment. We know how Buxton are playing. They'll capitalise on anything. They play the ball over the top and long. And we've got to make sure we're resolute as that ball is played from FC.
Oh, long ball now. Linney there. Linney keeps it in. Can he get it to Olabi? Oh, it's a penalty, I think. Oh, the clumsy challenge on Linney as he tried to bring it forward. A needless challenge.
Two things in there. Is it a penalty? And there a little push before?
I thought, you know, it was a fair challenge. He went over, and I'd like to see. I know maybe it sounds like coming from an FC point of view, but I think that was... He eased him off the ball. You see those given it for defenders quite a lot, and the referee didn't.
It's no different to what Tundy did early in the season.
No, and he's won himself a penalty there as well, because he's gone to the byline. It looks like he's going to get through, and why the player, given the opportunity, stuck his leg out and actually, you know, committed the foul. Well, it's a soft one.
Well, second minute of added time in first half.
So we'll take it if he can put it in, and Linney's going to take it himself, isn't he?
Indeed he is. So Grant Shant, the man with the job of trying to stop Linney here. Can Linney equalise? Whistle goes, here comes Linney. Oh, he's fighting beautifully. And FC United, who have been under the cosh. Really well under the cosh, probably a bit of an exaggeration, but they haven't been themselves. They probably deserve to go in 1-0 behind, I have to say. But the chance presents a good work from Linney. Good, strong work. Then he won the penalty and then he put it in.
It was one of the few passes that was hit with pace. You're thinking, it's got to go out because they've all been running. And it didn't, it just held up a little bit. And he did good work, gets to the byline and does what any forward would do. If anyone, any touch on you in the penalty area, you're going to go down. FC haven't been at the best, that's true. However, when you're chasing titles, some games you're not going to be brilliant. It's about all about the win. You're right, I think we'll still be a rollicking in half-time in that dressing room for the passing quality or the lack of it, and we've now got a second half to look forward to on level terms.
Still a couple of minutes have added to go. Ball's cleared now, and all of us at the other end of the pitch, it's Diego now. He's got a man inside him, Warren Clark.
Burns at the back crosses post.
He's flicked that burn, nods it back down. Lenehan now. Oh, good work. Lenehan on the edge of the box, tries to dribble his way through the ball. Is it going to be a penalty? It is. And it was, the ball was stuck under the feet of Lenehan, and then there was a real tussle for the ball. And obviously...
That's an odd one. A Curtis Jones and ball, is it? I don't understand.
There was an appeal. FC don't seem to be protesting, to be honest.
There's no point, really, is there? I mean, it seems a very innocuous... The ball's on the edge of the area, and there's a player sat on the ball, and the ball's kicked into a player
2 minutes into the second half.
So a chance for Diego to make it 2-1, and he does so. Buxton back in front. Well, FC United having found their way back level are now back behind again. A very curious whole melee of bodies. Impossible for us to see exactly what went on because the ball was surrounded by
The referee's actually signalled to Neil Reynolds that it was a handball, and he moved his arm out to cushion the ball away. It was a little bit off-putting then as well. They got the penalty, he scored the penalty, they got the ball themselves, and then as everyone was coming back, they kicked it into the corner flag to waste some time.
Yeah, not very classy, but FC now 2-1 down, and work to do. Linney down the line, Tunde Owolabi, and he's brought down, and it's a heavy challenge that. And O'Grady, there's going to be a yellow card, and Linney's getting involved. And Potts and Linney and Doyle trying to be the peacemaker here. It's going to be a yellow card now. This Conor O'Grady was the man who basically ended...
It was an horrendous challenge on Tunde, in all fairness.
It really was.
That might have been lost, but...
And Linney getting involved. He's just, and Donoghue and Doyle just trying to sort of ease Regan Linney away from this. He obviously was very close to the challenge, didn't like what he saw. But this Grady, the man who made the challenge, the fair challenge on Curran, which led to Curran being stretchered off. And that very heavy challenge on Olabi. Olabi's still down.
Unless he go into another referee's going to the...
It's a red card! And O'Grady's gone.
Griffiths now looking for some movement and some support. He has it in the form of his skipper. 10 yards in the opposition half. Back to Griffiths. Back to Dodd. Across to Doyle. Doyle now, he's about 15 yards outside the penalty area, plays it across this left-hand side to Linney. Overlap there is with Dodd. Dodd now chips the ball towards the near post, it goes actually towards the back post. This should be an opportunity. This should be a great save, in fact, from the feet of Grant Shenton. And that really, really should have been buried by Doyle. But FC had come again. It's with Potts. Potts plays the ball on the outside of his boot. It's left for Linney. Linney now has Dodd behind him. Ball play, that's a great ball. Who's on the end of it? It goes across everybody. And it's cleared once again. Here comes...
it's a siege.
FC United Manchester's Griffiths. He plays it to Morris. Morris will just roll the ball on inside to Linney. Linney dead centre. 10, 15 yards outside the penalty area. Can't afford to lose it there. Gets the ball to the wide right-hand, left-hand position again. Sets himself, Dodd. And then it's charged down, and I would suggest there's another player with a head injury because he's headed the ball and he's going to be down for at least a week. Ball headed on, who's going to pick it up? It's Luke Griffiths, he plays it to Morris. Morris now has got to be careful there, can't afford to lose it, being charged down by Byrne. He does well there, Morris. Decent ball in required, he plays it to Linney. Linney loses the first ball but wins it back. Then he plays a lovely inside ball now to Donoghue. Donoghue goes past one, ball comes across. First time shot comes in! And that may be a wonder save there from Grant Shenton. It is, to be honest, I think everyone thought that was in the back of the net. Hawley, he turned well, Hughes-esque, and he's leathered it, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful save from Grant Shenton. 3 minutes of normal play here at Silverlands. Corner ball comes. This time, who's on it? Hawley just got the end of it. The ball comes across here. It should be picked up by FC United Manchester's... Linney plays it to Griffiths. Griffiths chips it towards the back post. It's a decent ball, headed away again. And this time, it's great play there, hold up play. And it's a quarter ball now. There's an opportunity to make it 3-1. It's two against two. Can they get the ball into the penalty area? They do, they get it on the left hand side. The ball towards the back post. If they score from this, it's a great goal. But it's wide, wide, wide. But you've got to say, that ball from Alex Byrne, he held the ball on his own final third. He held the ball, controlled it on the outside of his boot. He put a wonderful ball in, and Rod Orlando Young should have done better.
I think he should have gone himself. He rather slowed it down and played the ball inside when it was on for him to go on his own. But anyway, FC still clinging on by the fingertips here.
Taken quickly, referee having a look at his watch already. Ball hit long, high. Can Hawley get on the end of it? Well, Jones tries to, but it doesn't quite come off, and they can clear the lines. It's a good clearance, high, but FC United should win that ball back with Morris. Morris plays it to Dodd. They look tired.
Yeah, they've got to get this ball up the field.
Certainly have. And the ball is played from right to left. A great ball and great defending again, though, for the home team. And then it's high. It's kept in, is it? No, it's a throw into FC. And I'm sure that... this time it's... It's unfortunate, Byrne didn't want to help with the ball, taken quickly, and FC give it away. But did they get the ball back on the edge of the area? Ennis, first time shot. Oh my word, what a finish from Ennis, a minute away, and Ennis with an absolute screamer. And the boys from Buxton, well, it's like Bayern Munich versus Manchester United. They're distraught, they're on the pitch, dead and buried. But what a finish from Ennis. Top corner, he drilled it. We were just criticising the pass he put in to the goalkeeper. He makes amends there. There probably won't be time for FC United and Manchester to get the winner, but we've got something out of a game, really, where there have been chance after chance after chance, and we've not been able to capitalise. But what a goal.
49 minutes and 55 seconds. There is 20 seconds of added time left. If unless the referee wants to add more because of the goal, the celebration and so on. Goodness me, well.
What a finish, and we just got the angle and could see it. FC have a throw the far side, but that will be the end of proceedings.
They're done 6 minutes of added time. Ridiculous rule. Well, they never had it on.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Ben. It's a curious one, but
I mean,
well,
there's a goal there and a goal celebration. There's at least another minute.
And there was a lot of time wasting in the early part of the added time. But anyway, 30 seconds ago, I'd have bitten your hand off for that result. Wouldn't at the start of play, but well, it's about keeping a cool head sometimes in the most frantic of moments, and that's what Charles Ennis did. I mean, on the half volley, what a skill. That could easily have ballooned over the bar, but he just took it perfectly.
The amount of chances FC had, and the fact that, you know, we were putting the ball left, right of the goal, over the goal. Hawley came on with his opening header and should have basically made it two apiece. It's taken to the dying embers of the game, and 6 minutes into the additional minutes, and it's a great and a wonderful, wonderful finish. It's been a very... I'm not trying to think.
Frustrating.
Frustrating afternoon. Neil probably will be frustrated.
I've not seen Kidology and time wasting since our early games at Grantham Town. At least they've got an athletics track. I don't know how they managed it. And it's all down to the professionalism of Alex Byrne, because he's been the unofficial ball boy this afternoon.
And he's also been the man of the match.
He has.
He's been absolutely outstanding.
I'm trying to say is, he's got Buxton a point today on more than one level.
He knows what to do. He's been around the referee. He's had the ball in his hand when the ball's gone out. He's then walked the ball across to support to the opposition. He's kept the ball. They've kicked the ball away when they've scored a penalty. They've done everything they can. It's a great way to finish. You'd hope for another 5 minutes of additional play, but there was some superb football from FC at times in that second half, and goals were there on the end of those balls. There was goals to be had and to be gotten, but they weren't there. It just didn't happen. I mean, Hawley comes on, and we say just before he comes on, he can come on, do what he did last week at Whitby, his first touch, scores, and it's Hawley. Oh, and he's put it over the bar, and it was a sitter, you know.
But yes,
three worldies from Grant Shenton. World-class really saves from Shenton, you know.
And their defence was well organised. You know, they had a bit of a mix-up that led to the FC's equaliser, but in jet terms, they had a plan, didn't they? Which was about spoiling and hitting on the break, and it almost got them 3 points.
It's been quite an interesting afternoon, because Lancaster City have now dropped to fourth. FC with this draw are up to third now. Lancaster City losing at Ashton United by 1-0. But what a second half up in the northeast for Carl McCauley's side, Witten Albion. Two late goals from Witten Albion, both listed as 90 minutes being scored, sees it South Shields 1, Witten Albion 2. A phenomenal result that for Witten, sees them up to 7th.
Good
And a good afternoon for Warrington as well. Warrington turning it around and winning against Whitby Town by 2-1. So the playoffs now, South Shields obviously top. Basford are in second because they won this afternoon by beating Morpeth Town at home by 1-0. FC United in third, 3 points behind Basford, but with a game in hand. Lancaster dropped down to fourth with that defeat on the same number of points as FC United, having played 3 games more. And Warrington Town in fifth position, 2 points behind FC United. FC 4 points in the playoffs, because Nantwich Town were also victorious this afternoon. A 2-0 win at Stalybridge Celtic, who now drop down to eighth.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because FC and Basford and South Shields were sort of pulling away a bit, and it's kind of slightly gone into reverse.
Well, you're going to get twisted turns like that, aren't you? Especially in this league.
Listen,
so.
And the only way you're going to... Only way you're going to end up winning the league is if South Shields do drop points, you know. And for us, we go up there on the 14th of March. You know, can we do what Witten have done? That's an absolutely phenomenal result, as you say, for Witten. But again, you know, that looking at the players are over. Players are on the other side of the ground with the crowd. And it's been an absolutely tremendous amount of FCs here this afternoon.
It's been a great day out. And good amount of number of protest songs, because I think some people have forgotten about that over the years. And it's come into start focus this week, and we've had some of the old ditties come out.
What do you make of that?
Of what
game then? I mean, in terms of, do you think FC were worthy of a point in the end, given the pressure it's put on at the end?
Chances that FC had, the three that they've put wide, the three that have been saved by Shentz. I mean, like on Tuesday, FC could have been 5-2 up in the first half. They didn't put away the chances.
Well, not in the first half. First half, we were off it, I think. In the second half, definitely.
No, on Tuesday. We could have been 5-2 up on Tuesday. And I think tonight, with the second half performance from FC, kicking down, it's a difficult place to come to. I've got to give all credit to Buxton. They set the stall out superbly well. They frustrated. They narrowed everything down for FC. And as soon as the first few passes went astray from an FC perspective, they seemed to sort of like not have the confidence to do what they would normally do in a game of football. But you stick at it. And that's what they've done all afternoon. They've stuck at it. They've worked hard. It's not been the best performance. Lots of chances. Exciting, enjoyable to a degree, and we leave here, Sutherland's still unbeaten for the away from home
since
Grantham. So in that respect, excellent.
And good performances. Charlie Ennis came on, did well, and of course did the most important thing. Doyle, pretty much a rock as ever. And that's going to be interesting to see now what happens with whether Lewis Lacey will slot in. Depends how serious the Jones injury is, of course.
Well, we were saying earlier, weren't we, James, off air, just that Curtis Jones said about the Sheffield game, I need the rest.
Yeah.
It's been, the other thing we have to mention is the fact, I think Barrow away and Whitby away is a lot for non-league players to take on, and you know, there's going to be casualties in that, and fatigue, isn't there?
Of course there is, yeah, you know, and
which is understandable.
They're semi-pro footballers, and that's why on Wednesday I'd have been doing, it was all about massage, and it was a session of rehabilitation, so to speak, and that's really important because a lot of teams don't do that, you know. I mean, and that's because of finances, and that's also because people work. But this group of lads want to come in every night if they could. They'd probably come in 5 days a week and train if they had the opportunity to do so, for the same money that they're on. It's not a question of that they want additional money. They just want to play for this football club and work hard. It's a game where, you know, we don't even know if or how the Alex Curran injury affected the players, because sometimes that can affect a team. You know, they've seen the a player that they get on with really, really well, and they see it's a really bad situation, it's a pretty a break, and sometimes that has a mental effect on you as an individual and as a team. And you
absolutely
know, it was a game where, I mean, we weren't on our mettle 100%. But that's the nature of, we've been so used to recently watching such good football, pass, and it coming off.
We've dug out a point.
Yeah, we have dug out a point, and we've dug out a point against a resilient and a decent Buxton team. You know, who are battling for their lives in the division, and you know, if they can put performances in like that week in, week out now.
Well, they have been doing.
And then they've had the two game blip.
But if you speak to anyone, they've said, we've been 90% in control of those games where we've been beaten recently. The form has been.
Well, last week they were unlucky last week for Bamber Bridge. Bamber Bridge actually didn't really deserve the win, but you know, that's the way football goes sometimes. They've got some good players. I mean, as I say, you know, they are in a position they are because of their early form, and which was dreadful. But they've got some good players that they've worked hard, and as I say, very, very impressed with Alex Byrne. I just thought he was magnificent. I thought that challenge, though, from Callan Mendes Jones earlier on, when he came across and he won that ball, was just absolutely outstanding as well. So, you know, there's a team there. There's a team of decent footballers. And, you know, if you can rely on the likes of Aaron Chalmers, who comes on, who's always been decent, you know, cool, calm and collected, you grind that result, you work hard, and, you know, you go away from home, you win your home games, you don't lose away, and you're in a chance of winning a division. And that's exactly what we've done. We've not been beaten since the opening day of the season away from home. That's a fantastic record and one to be very proud of.
Just to let everyone know, some breaking news on the forum from Adrian, that the contrary to what I said earlier about it being a blessing to be out of the League Cup because it means we could play Nantwich away. That game has now been postponed due to FC United playing in the semi-finals of the Frank Hanna Manchester Premier Cup against Earlham. So just correcting the record from earlier, Swamper.
That's frustrating, actually, because FC could do with getting on those games in hand out of the way, but not to be. Why it was scheduled on that day when it was quite likely FC were going to be
FA
in
Cup.
That Cup.
FA Cup. Because Nantwich had an FA Cup run.
They did indeed.
Yeah, so
but it's another. This is the other thing, right? I've been jokingly saying for ages that, you know, we're here for a good time this season. It's been a good away, that. There'll be a lot of people going back on that Buxton train in good form. Next up, then, for FC United is we're back at Broadhurst Park, aren't we, next Saturday against...
You are. I'm listening.
Oh, yeah, against Mickleover Sports. And
big game, that.
That is a big game.
Big game. Mickleover have been superb.
Yeah, really good. Obviously, their match against Matlock was postponed today for obvious reasons, but they've been in great form recently and a playoff contenders, really, at the moment, Mickleover.
In their current form, yeah.
I've got Neil coming up, so I'll bow out.
Well, they said no casual footwear allowed on the pitch. But believe you me, there was casual footwear all over the pitch come the 96 minutes. Neil, talk us through the ups and downs, the trials and tribulations of this afternoon's game here at the Silverlands against Buxton.
The joys of football management, you know, you're up, you're down, you're flipping sideways, your heart's through in your mouth. Listen, you know, I said at half-time, I said, if we're going to get beat, if we're going to lose this unbeaten run that we're on, let's do it in a way that we've been together since the end of June. Our hard work and our endeavour, our willingness to pass forward, our willingness to take chances. And I thought first off, for whatever reason, they pressed us high, we just didn't get into the rhythm of the game. And I said to the life, we're going to get beat today, just do it our way, get beat our way. Yes, it's a red card, it's a horrendous tackle, you know, and I said that to the manager. But I thought we were exceptional. You know, it's different to what it was Whitby last week. I thought we were exceptional second half. Grant Shenson's made, you know, some unbelievable saves. I thought Kyle had scored with his first touch. I thought Doyle had gone and scored. I thought Charlie had gone and scored. And, you know, I turned around to our fans going, sometimes it's just not your day. And, you know, I was really impressed with Luke Griffiths just passing and probing and being patient second half. And then, you know, cometh the hour, cometh the man. I mean, I've seen him do it in training how many times. I've seen him put free kicks in. But that strike was, wow, something out of the top drawer. And, you know, we deserved the point. It's not nice because I thought Buxton did well today and you've got to take credit. And I've been there as a manager when you concede last minute against Witten and it's not a nice feeling. But I think when you concede to a goal like that, there's not a great deal that anyone can do about it. And, you know, for us, it's a fantastic point, even more so now that Lancaster and South Shields have slipped up.
Now, as a manager, obviously, you set your team up, get out there, let's perform like we usually do. You have to have the answers if it's not going right. So can you put your finger on what went wrong in that first 45 minutes? What was... Some of the passing was going astray. People were standing on the ball. We were playing very deep in our own third, and we weren't getting the ball out quick enough. What were your thoughts?
I said at half time. I don't recall a game this season where Curtis Jones doesn't step out, you know, and takes four or five touches. Today he's just like going in one touch, and Doyle's doing it the same. And Aaron Morris slips on the back pass, and it goes home. And you know, even Aaron Morris is not getting out on one side. Doddy's not getting out the other. We couldn't get Griff on the ball. And that's why I said, if we're going to go out our way, you know, if you misplace a pass doing the right thing, I'm all right. So first off, we were doing things that were absolutely alien to us. We haven't worked on it. And the lads said that they've got a high press on us. They're playing 4-1-4-1. So I said, you've got time to work it out. Your rotations are working out. Your movement around the park. And for whatever reason, second 3-hour journey in 2 weeks, I'm not making a shoot, or 2-hour journey. I don't know. You know, we've done really well. We've given lads a rest Tuesday night. There's definitely no complacency. You know, I'm not gonna point fingers and say they guarantee the shirt. They're not. You know, we've come here today against a team that we beat 7-0, against a resurgent team that we've got done well under a new manager, and we was going to make it tough. And you know, I thought they did really well, but to come back in the fashion we did was exceptional. But you know, it's not always going to go our way, and it didn't go our way today. I thought second half it did, but first half it didn't. But you know, I'm really pleased that we weren't further out of sight, because it could have been 3 or 4, I think, at half time.
Yeah, I mean, we talked early on in the game that Buxton was setting you a problem, which you had to solve. And it's interesting what you said, because it seems like it took you 45 minutes to do that. But how important is it as part of this team's education to play in an ugly game like that and somehow get something out at the end?
It's massively important. So if I highlight, you know, just talking about that, if I highlight Luke Griffiths, who plays at the bottom of our, if you will, defensive triangle, I thought there was too many times in the first half that he was playing left and right. We couldn't get him on it centrally. He was getting frustrated because the two centre-halves have gone long. And I said at half-time, even if they do go long, you can't yield discipline and lose your shape. I thought second half he was instrumental. mental everything we did. He picked it up in between the lines and he played the right way. You know, Potts was off it today. I'm not going to say he was great. He was off it today. And I think when your captain's off it, it stems throughout the team. But lads aren't going to play 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 every week. And when we have an off day, and we've had an off day, it's important that we go and get a point. And we've got a point. You know, we're unbeaten. I think someone put it on the internet. I can't remember how many days or months it is. But, you know, first game of the season, the lads have got loads of character. You know, the teams are, let the teams kind of slip up in and around us. And we've just got to, you know, stay focused. I think a point takes us up to third tonight.
Does indeed.
With a game in hand over base, we can go level. And now we're six behind Shields. So, you know, we've got to regroup. We've got a big couple of games ahead with Mickleover next Saturday, and then followed by the semi-final in the Manchester Cup. So it's, you know, it's squeaky bum time, isn't it? We're going into February, March, April, and people are going to start losing points. We've just got to stay positive and just keep enjoying the ride that we're on.
Can we ask you about the injuries? Curtis, obviously in the second half, but Alex looking more serious in the first half.
Yeah, he's a serious one. He's gone to hospital. His mum and dad are going to travel back on the team coach. You know, he's one of them that a few years ago that tackles allowed. I think he's off the ground, and you know the ref said he doesn't know, and he's one of them. You know, and I'm not going to blame the lad. I mean, it looks a bad one for Alex, and I think that shook us up as well. I'll be honest with you. A few lads went over and didn't like it, so I'm hoping that it's nothing too serious. But he's definitely gone to hospital, and it shook our physio up, so there could be something.
Is it a possible break?
Possible break. And you know, whichever it is, if it's ligaments, it's, you know, people say it's just as bad as a break. So we're going to have to monitor it and see what happens. It will be a big loss if he is out. But we've got a squad, and you know, we'll just have to shuffle things around and see what we do. But we might have to go into the market this week now, because that'll leave us short. And then, listen, the one on Sunday is a disgrace. He said, you know, the bench is up in arms. Would you do it? There's no need for him to do it. There's no need for him to come round through the back of him. I can only think that he was trying to injure the lad to try and knock him off his stride. But he could have broken it. It was his standing leg as well. It was a bad one. And, you know, I said to the ref, I think he pulled the yellow out the first time. And, you know, he looked at Sunday. So, you know, there's no place in the game for that. But I'm sure the manager doesn't condone it. And I wish Buxton all the best. You know, this season we've got to enjoy the point today.
And a word on Chris Doyle.
Sorry,
Curtis Jones.
Just before half time, kind of a blame him actually, because he was hitting too many long balls. So overstretched his groin.
His groin.
He just felt it, and you know, we don't want him out for too long. So I thought Aaron Morris went in there and did great, and I thought Donoghue at right back.
Donoghue, he
needs to stop playing a lot of positions, because he seems to be able to play everywhere. And you know, the last thing you want is to be that versatile player. But Donoghue, he's fantastic, and he's done great when he's got it at right back. So another option for us. You know, I'm sorry for Jack and Ben who didn't get on today, but it's, you know, their time will come, and we've just got to, you know, fingers crossed that Curtis isn't too long and Alex isn't getting training this week, and look forward to the Mickleover game next Saturday.
Well, listen, it's always great talking to you. I know you're going to have to do a few more interviews,
yes,
so we won't keep any longer. A vital point, considering what's happened above us, and a vital point just to keep the momentum running and going. And it just proves you can, right, doesn't matter how many minutes are left, you've always got a goal in you.
When you've got talent in the dressing room and you've got talent on the bench like Charlie Ennis, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And, you know, I just said to the lads there, you know, there'll be times that we underperform out there. When you've got ability the way we've got, then that doesn't surprise me. And today is Charlie's day. You know, you can't take anything away from him. Without that bit of magic, we don't get the point. But, you know,
we've just been criticising, haven't we? Just slightly criticising with the pass that he put in, that Shen's gathered.
Yeah.
Just drill that one. Drill it in. And then he just does that, and he makes amends, which is always a beautiful thing.
I think, I don't know if you've seen, but I think I should get the assist for that, because I brought it down here in one touch. If you remember the book, and I threw it back on, and we score from it. So one of the fans said it's an assist for me, so I'll take that.
We'll put that down. We'll make sure that.
Well done, guys. Fans, again, were exceptional.
Yeah.
I mean, the first half, well, I don't know where I was. I didn't think I was. I thought it was at a league game. You know, it was packed, and I'm so happy we scored at that end. You know, when Riga put the penalty away, but you know, they kept going right to the end, and I think they would have been singing even with the 2-1 defeat, because they see what we tried to do. But to score it in the way we did was good, and you know, I think everyone's going home happy tonight.
Very much so.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds there from Saturday afternoon, following his side's 2-2 draw at Buxton. And FC United return to action this Saturday as the Reds host playoff chasing Mickleover Sports at Broadhurst Park. Kick-off in North Manchester will be 3 p.m. and it'll be pay on the gate, £12 adults, £7 concessions, £3 under 18s. But remember, as always, if you cannot make this match in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Saturday afternoon from 2:30 p.m. right here on www.fc-radio.co.uk. And that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Mondays and Tuesdays at 12 p.m. and 7 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. A big thank you to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.